right, as anticipated, that intro did not play, and I am okay with that. Hello, everyone. Peace, love, and gratitude on this 22nd solar day in May. I am Anem A. Bay here on HMI Radio, bringing you another great episode entitled Yoga Behind Bars with yoga master slash teacher Angie Steele. Angie, I want to thank you for joining me today. It is certainly a pleasure to have you on. How are you? Angie, are you still here with me? All right, just hang on. I think we're having technical difficulties here on Blog Talk Land. Oh. Angie, are you here?
I'm here.
Okay. I don't know if you heard my intro or not. I am dealing with some difficulties right now. Okay.
I was responding to you. I said, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad that you are having me. So, and then I got the message that you weren't hearing me. So, everything's good now.
All right. Great. Well, first and foremost, I wanted to talk a little bit about your background in yoga. I know that you mentioned we did connect recently here on Facebook, that you are a mom, and as a mom, I know that's a job within itself, you know, having children and doing all that you do with yoga here. I'm sorry, were you about to say something?
I was just going to say, yes, ma'am. I'm Southern, so I was just...
I know I have only one, and it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job, I tell you.
Yes, it is.
You have a background in rehabilitational counseling, and I know that you mentioned you study at USC School of Medicine and obtained a BA in English from Columbia College. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So you're involved with the Yoga Behind Bars, yoga project Behind Bars. How did you transition from all that I just mentioned to teaching yoga in a prison setting?
It happened, it was very much what the universe wanted to happen with me. I call myself a flopper. And I coined that term last summer when I was taking bhakti yoga training at Ashley Yoga Center with Michael Johnson. And I realized at that point in my life I had been a flopper, like a fish out of the water, just kind of flopping around from one thing to the next. And I never really knew where I was going. I've been teaching English in high school for the last 4 years, and before that I was a middle school teacher of English. And that was my first degree in English education. And so over the years while I've been teaching school, I have been going back to school, getting my master's in rehab counseling. I wasn't really sure why I was going in that direction. I do have a family history of addiction. And my grandfather was an alcoholic, and there's just a strong family genetic predisposition to addiction. So that's what drove me to rehab counseling. But I never used it. Once I got the degree, I kept teaching, and then I started getting into yoga, and I got my 200-hour yoga certification and went on to do Baptiste yoga training and ended up at a high school alternative school. So I'm now teaching all the students in our district who get expelled and are enrolled in English. So that kind of fit with the rehab counseling, and it kind of meshed with my English degree. And I actually went to Prison Yoga Project training in June of 2014 and went with the intention of bringing yoga to my at-risk students at the alternative school. And when I attended the training, I was listening to James Fox, the founding director of the Prison Yoga Project, and I was amazed at what he had been doing in San Quentin in California. And he was talking about the effect that yoga can have on the incarcerated. And the Prison Yoga Project doesn't just train for inmates to take yoga, but also domestic violence shelters or at-risk youth rehabilitation center. So anybody who's underserved can benefit from the prison yoga method. And so when I was there, I was amazed at what he was saying about the benefits that it had. And I thought, well, no one's doing this in South Carolina. So I'm going to go home, and I'm going to call every warden and email every warden within driving distance and see if they're interested in my bringing yoga to their facility. So I called, and the only warden who returned my call was the one that was the prison that was furthest away. So it's just a 65-mile drive one way.
Wow.
But I was thrilled. And it was Angela Rowski of Leith Correctional, and she was very interested in by coming in and talking with her. And I went and met with her, and I didn't have to convince her of anything. She was all for it. So my first yoga class was at Leith Correctional. It's a maximum security women's institution. And I go once every 2 weeks. I wish I could go more, but the distance and having being a single mother and having children, it's very difficult to go anymore. So, but I do go once or twice a month, once every 2 weeks, and I've really bonded with the ladies there. They're wonderful. So that's how I ended up becoming a prison yoga teacher.
Gotcha, gotcha. And just for clarity's sake, because I come across newbies to yoga in general, for clarity's sake, could you please explain to them? I've tried, but, you know, I guess they don't believe me that yoga is not a religion and it's not some sort of cult in a bad way that most people think. So could you please explain what yoga is?
Yoga is the union of mind, body, and if you want, it can be union of mind, body, and spirit. So for me, or for anyone, yoga can be a rehabilitative tool. It can be a way to, you know, relieve stress. And for lack of a better way of saying it, it can be an exercise. I don't like to consider it just an exercise because it's so much more. But yoga is not a religion in itself. However, I found that yoga can really apply to any religion. You can be a Christian and practice yoga, and you can bring yoga into your Christianity to enhance it. You can be a Hindu. You can be a Wiccan. You can be a Muslim. You can be any religion and help and bring yoga into it to enhance it and to connect yourself with your God. So
yes.
A lot of people think that yoga itself is, and they won't practice it because they see it as a religion, and especially in the South. The South is notorious for accusing yoga of being a cult, of being anti-Christian, because, you know, I live right smack in the Bible Belt. So the first time I taught a yoga class, it was in a United Methodist church, and I had to call it Christian yoga. And we would pray at the end. We would bring prayer into it, and I would try to bring Bible verses into it, you know, for those who were taking it. But even then I had people calling into the church complaining that they couldn't believe we were teaching yoga at a Christian church. And so, but no, yoga is anything you want it to be. Yoga can be as spiritual and as religious as you want it to be in your own way, or it can be something that's completely secular and just helps heal your emotional state, your mental state, and your physical state.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I could tell you, I recently just started a yoga class with my partner. And I tell you, it is no walk in the park.
It's not. It can be very intense.
It is no walk in the park at all. And I know that you stated in your bio that you trained in various levels or different types of yoga. What are those levels, and how does it apply to your work in general?
Okay. I like to get a mixture of teachers. I'm not the type of yoga practitioner or teacher who subscribes to one kind of yoga. So there are all different styles of yoga. There's Baptiste, there's Bikram, you've got Shivananda yoga, Hatha yoga. So you can train with a variety of teachers, but I like to mix it up And like mm-hmm. one teacher may go in and do Baptiste training, and she does his level 1, 2, 3 and all that teacher or he does is Baptiste. I, however, do not feel like that's in my best interest. It could be in somebody else's best interest to train in one type, but I like to mix it up, and I like to get a little bit from Shivananda, a little bit from Michael Johnson's Bhakti Yoga and Baptiste Yoga, and wherever I plan on training. My next training is going to be Thai yoga massage in the Bahamas. Oh. So I like to jump around and try different types. And then I take what I've learned and I mesh it together into my own style.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach at the university, I teach yoga classes as undergraduate credit. I teach power yoga. I'll use the Baptiste training, but I also work in some other styles too. And so that's really how it applies to me. And I found especially that the Bhakti Yoga, which is the yoga of love, I took that with Michael Johnson, like I said, in Asheville. That has worked the best with the women in the prisons. And it's a very compassionate, it's a type of yoga where you use music with a set number of beats. And you really link the breath to the movement. And when we're practicing, it's like doing a dance. We're all moving at the same time. We're breathing together. And it's like a community. It's like we're one organism moving together. And I really have found that that has been the style of yoga that has benefited my prison ladies. Now, I've only been allowed to teach one men's class. And then I was restricted to the women's prison. So here in South Carolina, I'm not allowed to go into the men's facilities yet. I'm still working on trying to get in, but for whatever reason, in San Francisco and New York City and places that are a little more liberal and a little more progressive, women are allowed to go in to teach men. But here, it's been a struggle because it's a little less progressive, it's more conservative, and they're worried I'm going to get attacked, and that's not a concern of mine, but I understand the state of South Carolina and their viewpoint. So I'm not really sure what would work best with the men here, but I do know that with the women, we have really bonded, and the music that is used in that style of yoga has just been amazing, and I've had amazing results with that with them.
Well, I was going to ask you, did you have any future goals with this project on, you know, just expanding outside of South Carolina, but you had already stated that you're trying to maneuver into more liberal states. So that answers
well,
that
question. Well, I'm actually part of the Prison Yoga Project. So the Prison Yoga Project started 13 years ago in San Quentin. And James Fox was the founding director of that. He's still teaching yoga in San Quentin. And he is the director of the project. And there are teachers all over the United States who are trained with the Prison Yoga Project. Some states have teachers and some don't. And it just so happens that I was the one, you know, it was my, and what it's called is the karmic duty. And when I went, I got to go to the Shivananda Ashram in the Bahamas, and I listened to the Swamis down there. And well, I went one June, and the Swami was talking about your karmic duty. And how your karmic duty is that one job that you're meant to have in your lifetime. And it kind of hit me there that my karmic duty is to, about a year later, I was absorbing what is a karmic duty, what exactly is mine, and it just kind of fruitioned into this prison yoga project. And when I took the training, and then I realized now that this is what I'm meant to do. I'm meant to go in. That's why I got my rehab counseling degree. I didn't realize it at the time, but the universe realized it. And it just had to unfold and open for me to see. And so what I'd like to do right now, I have one other teacher, Liza Marie Estes, and she goes into Camille Griffin Graham and teaches the women there. I turned it over to her, and I go into Goodman Correctional Facility, which is the minimum security prison for women, and Leaf Correctional, which is maximum security. And Camille Griffin Graham is the maximum security. So those are our three women's prisons in South Carolina. The rest are male prisons, and there are 21 men's prisons. And there's a dire need for male yoga teachers and volunteer at that because we don't get paid. I would like to eventually become nonprofit and maybe break off of the Prison Yoga Project just so I could start getting donations to pay teachers and to, you know, pay myself to go. You know, I'm digging into my own pocket a lot of times to get, you know, pay for gas or, you know, I don't get paid to do this and I don't care because, you know, this is karma yoga. It's the yoga of selfless service. And so I would like to expand into the men's facilities. I'd like to get more male teachers. I'd like to get people in rural areas. It's just going to be a huge undertaking, and it's going to take years. And it may be after my lifetime is up that, you know, this expands even more. But at least I'm planting the seeds right now. And hopefully it'll catch on and people will start to get more involved. People are very interested in what I do, and they're very supportive of what I do. But I have yet to find a lot of yoga instructors who are willing to go behind the bars. And I think it takes a certain person to be able to do that.
Yes.
So I don't want to pressure anyone. I don't want to make somebody feel like they have to go in, because if that's not where they need to be or they want to be, it's not going to be a good fit. And I think, too, a lot of times people may think they want to be a yoga teacher in a prison because they watch shows like Orange is the New Black or, you know, these shows that kind of glamorize what it's like. But it's once you step behind those electric gates and that razor wire, it might be a completely different feeling that you have. The energy may not mesh with yours. And so, you know, you're going in and working with people who are forgotten and a lot of times who are judged, well, most of the time judged by society, and they're looked down upon. And people think they don't deserve to have yoga. And they think I'm going in and coddling them, and I'm not. You know, I'm giving them a tool to handle stress better, to respond versus react. So, you know, if you're not that a person who can go in and take on that energy from these people, they're needy. You know, they want you to come in. They don't have a lot of visitors. So when I go in there, I'm their equal. I'm their friend, you know, and you've got to put the judgment aside. You can't go in there and say, oh, that person's a murderer, or that person was, you know, manufacturing drugs, or this person, you know, beat her child to death. You can't do that. You've got to put that stuff aside, and you've got to look at them as a human being, and you've got to look at them as an equal, because everybody's a reflection of everybody else.
And you are so right.
Sitting behind bars for some choices I made. I just did not get caught, you know, in my past. And so I think that as long as I remember that, and, you know, but anyway, your original question was, where do I see it going? And I'd like to expand into more prisons in our state and get more teachers and get involved in more research. Because I've already been involved in a couple research projects that have shown benefits for the ladies that are taking my classes. There was a decrease in anxiety, a decrease in depression, and you know their self-esteem goes up. They are practicing when I'm not there. They tell me that they teach each other. I've taken them books. And one of the inmates came up to me last week and said, I just want you to know that I did the first 60-something pages of the yoga book that you brought. And she said, I'm doing it every day. So I'm seeing results, but, you know, it's getting through to the people at headquarters. And, you know, they've been supportive to an extent, but I have a lot of good ideas that they never reply to me about. And that's frustrating. So, you know, it's getting, convincing the people who are in charge at the headquarters in South Carolina to do more with it.
I'm sure it's a frustrating process, but my insight tells me that the right people are going to come along at the right time for you. And right now, just you being on air, putting it out to the universe, it is on its way. So be patient. And, you know, just keep on doing the humble work that you're doing.
Well, I've made a lot of progress. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I made a lot of progress in the 2 years because right when I started, the first group that I taught was four men, and they were some of the worst offenders in South Carolina. They were four mutilators, self-injurious mm-hmm. behavior. And they wanted me to go in and teach them yoga to see if I could teach them a different way of coping with their mental issues, emotional issues, rather than cutting themselves or mutilating themselves. Mm-hmm. So I was all for mm-hmm. it. I went and checked out books. Well, the one book in the library I could find on male mutilators and read mm-hmm. about it. And, you know, there was lots about women who did that, but only one about men. And so I read that and went in, and they told me on the phone, they said, well, do you want to teach them inside or do you want to teach them outside? And I said, well, inside would be fine. They said, well, if they're inside, they have to be cuffed. And I was like, well, mm-hmm. I don't want to be cuffed for yoga. So I said, let's mm-hmm. do it outside. So I was completely unprepared that day. I went in, and they put me on a concrete slab.
Wow.
There were individual exercise cages in front of me. They brought them down one at a time, put them in the cage, took their handcuffs off, and handed them a yoga mat. So you can imagine, I never expected that.
Wow.
And I was shocked. I mean, I wasn't so shocked that I let it bother me, but mm-hmm. I was surprised they didn't prepare me more for that. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite understand the enormity of what was going on. And then mm-hmm. they should have prepared me better. I should have been talking with the psychologist a week or two beforehand. They probably should have taken me in to talk with the men individually mm-hmm. beforehand, and they probably should have done some type of psychological pre-test and post-test beforehand. But whatever mm-hmm. happened, I thought it went great. That was on a Friday. The next mm-hmm. Monday, I checked my email, and I had a message that I was now restricted. Due to an incident, you are now restricted to the women's facilities. So I'm not sure what happened when I left.
Wow.
I didn't ask. So I don't mm-hmm. know if the men just didn't react. They did great with the yoga, but, you know, afterwards, you know, yoga can have some powerful effects. And, of course, being a female and going into a men's facility, I don't know if that was part of it or what happened. But, you know, I've made some progress because that was my first class. And then I went into LEAF, and I was there. And then about 6 months later, I started going into Camille Griffin Graham. And then about 6 months later, I started going into Goodman. So I've made mm-hmm. progress. I've gotten donations from the Give Back Yoga Foundation and the Prison Yoga Project. I've gotten, I do a Christmas program, or not necessarily, it's a holiday program because they're all different religions. Every December I have donations of body wash and given to me, and I take that in, and I have people donate money for food, and I'll go and fix like pimento cheese sandwiches and things like that, things that they never get. And
right.
they are so grateful, and it's just, it's wonderful. And
mm-hmm.
I think the biggest, I'll quit talking after this, but one of
no,
the biggest.
No, I was just going to say.
Oh,
we
yes, I feel like I'm not giving you a chance to ask the question.
No, it's
but,
fine.
Okay. But I have one inmate, or former inmate, who got out in December, or New Year's Day was the day she got out, or it may have been New Year's Eve. Whatever, it was very symbolic and metaphorical. And
mm-hmm.
I got her a five-class pass to a local yoga center. And I'm not going to name the yoga center because I don't want people thinking of who's the inmate because, you know, it's mm-hmm. nobody's business. But she started going to this yoga center, the studio, and she is still practicing. And it's permeated her life. I mean, her Facebook, her Facebook friends, we're friends now, and, you know, now that she's out, everything's yoga. Her posts are about yoga. And so I've seen firsthand what it's done to an inmate once she's released, and it's changed her life. And I also have another one who's getting out June 21st, and I got her a 10-class pass to mm-hmm. a studio in her hometown. So that's another thing I want to do is be a bridge. Once they're released, make sure I hook them up or connect them with a yoga studio in their hometown if one's there, so that they'll continue to practice. And they'll also get around more supportive people, more a different type of friend than the ones they may have been with before they were arrested and put in prison. So, and I think that's important, you know, giving them that support after they're released. So I'm making some progress. It's slow.
Yes, you are. You are. Well, Angie, I'm going to take a caller here from the 703 Exchange, and I actually know who that is. That is my partner, Mind, Body, and Soul Food host, Tanya Parker. I'm going to go ahead and click her on. Tanya, are you here?
I am here. Hello.
All right. Hi.
Hello, Tanya. How are you?
I am great, Angie. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's been a busy week.
I hear you. I hear you. First, I just want to let you both know how much I am enjoying the show. I've been so excited about this topic. I've been a fan of yoga. I've been practicing yoga, actually, for over 25 years. And I've taken different forms, different places, different styles. And I am just a huge fan in how it works on the mind, body, and spirit level. And I have referred many people to yoga, Anim included, even though she's practiced. Or, you know, you've practiced on your own, but actually coming to a class, I'm so glad that you've been able to do that. I am fascinated by yoga behind bars. And, Angie, I really want to commend you for this tremendous work that you're doing.
Well, thank you. Like I said, it's my call. I just feel like it's my calling.
Well, it's clear that you have passion for it. And what you shared about what you've done, you know, creating a bridge, that's so important. And seeing the example of the lady who came out of prison and who's now taking classes, and the other one who will, you've just been an inspiration to many. I just know this in my heart, and I'm grateful. On behalf of grateful to you. I am curious, because I heard you say that you had some ideas that you you put to the administration at the prison system, and that they haven't taken you up on them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
And I'm curious as to, are they ideas you can share? Because I just sense that it's important for you to be heard.
Sure.
On these ideas.
One of the ideas that I had was to create a book. I had been part of a research study out of Wake Forest University last summer. It hasn't been published yet or finished, but it was a qualitative study where they interviewed me on the best practices in yoga in the prisons. And anyway, during that process, the researcher, I found a book on Amazon that she had written where she went into the Native Americans in a men's prison in North Carolina. And she interviewed those men, and she had them write their stories. Some of them wrote poetry. Some of them wrote their life story, their biographies. And she took their stories and published it. And all the proceeds went to the families of those inmates so that they had support outside of their, you know, while they were incarcerated, their families had support. So the inmates didn't get any money, but the families did. And so I started thinking, wouldn't it be great if there was a yoga book where I could have the inmates write about stories about how yoga has affected them, or write poetry about their yoga experience, or even do artwork to go along with their stories, or put in like a literary magazine. Because when I was teaching middle school, I was the journalism teacher, and I was in charge of the literary magazine. So I've got some training in InDesign and know how to set up a literary magazine. So I thought, this would be great. I can get this from the inmates. I can publish it on Amazon, and then the money that I make could go to the Prison Yoga Project here in South Carolina, which I think is a wonderful idea. It's a great way to fund it without asking people constantly to give money, they get something in return. And I never got a response from that. I don't know if they felt like it would be giving the inmates a chance to get attention and to glorify themselves. Of course, it would have been anonymous. That was my intention. But
right.
I never got a response about that. And I was very disappointed because anybody can publish on Amazon now. And
right.
I was just thinking what a great idea that would be, and at least people would get something in return for their donation. And it could even be sent to other prisons throughout the nation or even the world to inspire other women who are incarcerated. So that was my big idea. And I think if anybody wants to take that idea and do it, I think it would be great. But, you know, right now I'm in a place where my hands are tied and I can't. That was one. I had another documentary photographer contact me from Los Angeles who wanted to see if she could maybe come in and photograph some of the inmates doing yoga, because she's going around the country and doing underserved populations, and she's going to create this documentary book. And I told her, I said, I'll ask, but I don't know if they'll let you in. And I asked, never got a response for that. So those are some of the ideas that I've had that I would like to do. I wanted to do, I asked if they could write letters to the director of the Prison Yoga Project to thank him for some of the things, and no response. So a lot of times I feel like I'm certainly not putting the South Carolina Department of Corrections down, because they have really accommodated me and allowed me to come in to their facilities. So I would never want to badmouth them. I know a lot of times there's a lot of red tape, and I'm certainly not meaning anything by it, but I feel like one of the goals is to offer rehabilitative experiences or opportunities for the inmates. And sometimes I wonder if more couldn't be done on that level, you know, because I feel like my ideas are great ideas that would fit into that mission or that goal for that mission statement. So I'm still working on trying to enhance communication. I did get my hand slapped a few weeks ago because I got this bright idea. I had helped a counselor at McCormick Men's Correctional Facility get 15 mats for 15 male inmates. Actually, what happened there was the director of the Prison Yoga Project contacted me, James Fox contacted me, and told me that he had received an email from an inmate's brother asking if he could help get a yoga program started at his brother's prison. And James sent me the email and said, can you work on this? So I got in touch with the counselor, and she said that they were wanting to start one. And I said, well, I can get you a DVD, a Prison Yoga Project DVD, with a yoga class led by James, and a book, the Prison Yoga Project book, and some mats, if you will let me do that. I drove to McCormick. It was about an hour drive. I actually took the day off from work to do that. Drove to McCormick, dropped the mats off. And McCormick's a level 3, a maximum security men's facility. So I was like, that's great. You know, if I can't go in and teach these guys, I'm going to email every warden in the state that's head of a men's prison, and I'm going to offer them a DVD and some mats if they're interested, and I'll find a way to fund it, you know, if I can put it on Facebook or have a person sponsor a prison. I mean, that's a great idea. You know, who wants to sponsor, you know, Lieber Correctional or Lee Correctional or wherever? And so I did a mass email. I went through, I wrote down all the warden's email addresses. I wrote down all the chaplains with the volunteer quarters email addresses, and I sent a mass email because I wasn't sending 50-something separate emails.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I get an email from the director of special services a few days later, and this person said, it comes to my attention that you have emailed every warden and every volunteer coordinator at the men's prisons and asked them if they wanted to do yoga. And she said, I just want you to know that everything has to come through this office, and I feel like you went behind my back because you didn't want me to know that you were doing this.
Ooh.
And I was just taken aback by that because that was never my intention. My intention was to talk to the wardens. I'm a taxpayer. I support the prisons with my tax dollars. And if I want to email the wardens, I didn't really see a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
But apparently this person did and took it the wrong way. And so, you know, I responded and said that was never my intention. I certainly had no intention of going behind your back. I said all I wanted to do was bring yoga to the men if they wanted. So I said I will withdraw my offer for now. So things like that, it's almost like it's a power thing at times, and a power thing that I'm not trying to take hold of. I'm just trying to offer some help. And so I've had, you know, I come in those up against those little roadblocks a lot. And I don't want to be expelled from the prison. I don't want them to say you can't come back in. So I back off, you know, and I don't push the envelope anymore. But, you know, those are some of the things that I've come across, that, the ideas that I've had that have been stopped.
Well, thank you for sharing them. They are some excellent ideas. And
very much.
I just really felt that people needed to hear what these ideas were. And you never know who's listening in and who may be in a position to help move them forward. So
that's correct. And if it's not here in South Carolina, it could be somebody in Minnesota or, you know, wherever who just hears it and, so, you know, decides that that's something that they want to do.
And, you know, what's interesting, I know this isn't the same, but I was featured, one of many, many women featured in a yoga book, and it was called, it's called Yes, Yoga Has Curves. And it features women who aren't, who don't have your traditional looking model thin yoga bodies. And it tells their story and has beautiful photo of us in particular yoga asanas, poses, and, you know, what that pose means for us and everything. And, you know, it was a beautiful undertaking, and it was so rewarding to be able to get my yoga story out. I can imagine what it would be like for someone behind bars to be able to get their story out and to talk about how yoga has, you know, made a better life for them in some way.
Exactly. And so that's kind of where I was going with that book idea, you know, to try to get something like that out there. But, you know, I guess I can keep trying, and eventually it might be approved. So, and, you know, over the years, the coming years, hopefully I'll get more and more inmates who have practiced with me who continue to practice upon release. And with the documentary book, I was like, well, you know, I told the photographer, I said, I do have one inmate who is practicing and she's local. I said, it would be really interesting to get us doing yoga together and maybe interview her if she's willing to talk about how the yoga had affected her. So to have a teacher, and, you know, Robert Sturman, the yoga photographer, goes into San Quentin and does the prison yoga project on the men's shots. And, you know, something like that, but you have your yoga teacher, prison yoga teacher, and your former inmates practicing together. I think that would be a beautiful photograph and a beautiful story itself, because like I said, I told them last week, it was interesting because I had become acquainted with a psychology professor who told me that I needed to set boundaries with these inmates when they got out. He said, you don't need to connect with them after they're released. You don't need to have any contact with them. That's basically what he was saying. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, I disagree with that because, like I said, everybody makes mistakes. They've served their time. Until they give me a reason to not associate with them, just like any other person in the general population, that I'm there. But I was telling them last week, I debated on that. And so when I closed out yoga class, I told them about the person who had said that to me, and I told them that I just wanted them to know that I would not do that to them. You know, if they were released and they needed me to help them find a yoga studio, or they needed to something to help support that, that I would be more than willing to help them. So never feel like you can't contact me. And for those, and the sad thing about it is I know while I'm saying, you, those of you who will be released, there are women in my yoga class who are there for life. They will die in prison. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for them, mm-hmm. I offer, and if you're not, if your release date isn't anytime soon, I said, if you ever want, you know, you want a specific yoga, any yoga information or something, I can try to get that for you. So mm-hmm. they're not supposed to ask me for anything. That's against the rules. Mm-hmm. But if I offer it to them, it was interesting because last year about this time, a couple of them came up to me and said that they were really excited that they had started a band class. Two of the inmates were teaching the other ladies how to play band instruments, marching band instruments. And they said, you know, we're trying to get books for, like, school books. And I said, well, you know what? I said, my son's in middle school band. Let me contact his teacher and see if she's got any old music books. And so I contacted her, and she said, well, a lot of the kids leave them and throw them away at the end of the year, so I'll just ask if, you know, if they want to donate them. And I had a huge box of band textbooks, little thin paper books that I took into the facility for them. And you would have thought, I mean, it was like Christmas 10 times over for them. So they've got a band class going. And one of the ladies came up to me. She's so sweet. She said, I just want you to know I use my yoga in band class. She's one of the teachers. She said, because I was trying to teach these ladies, and they were playing these instruments, and it sounded horrible. And she said, I stepped back, and I breathed. She said, I use my yogic breath. And I said, that's what it's all about. So, you know, they're listening, and they're applying it. So, but I don't know how I got off on that tangent about the books. But anyway, yeah. So
okay.
We were talking about the photographs and everything. So, but I would really like to, you know, get more awareness out there. So doing this show has really, that will help. And I'm willing to, you know, be interviewed. Any kind of research project, I'm there. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. So anything that will help expand it, I'm always there.
I said expanding. I see the resistance that is there because it's something that's new to old minds. So there is going to be some resistance with it. I know a while back I was, I don't know if I was reading some enlightenment book or if it was something that was on TV, but they were talking about shamans where they had a system set up somewhere back during time where those that have committed offenses in the villages in which, you know, they lived at the time, they would do hypnotherapy to help the person that may have committed the crime to transition from that criminal type of mind into an enlightened type of mind. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that the prison systems really adopt that method as well when you have your about some of your heart offenders. Some sort of alternative rehabilitation rather than what's going on now, which is not really helping them at all.
There's so much that can be done. So much. Yeah. Another thing that I suggested, this reminds me, I went to I go to Krishna Das Yoga of Chant Retreat in the Bahamas when I can. I didn't go this year, but I've been the last 3 years. And, you know, it's kirtan, and we do the chanting, and it's a meditation on its own. It's part of the bhakti yoga system, too. And so I came home from that, and I looked online, and I found a group that actually will provide a chant artist to go in on a volunteer basis into yoga or into prisons and do kirtan with the inmates. They bring their drums, they bring their harmonium, and chant. And so I really got into, you know, speaking of shamanism, I was looking into that last summer a good bit, into especially the trance dance. I'm not a trance dancer. I get motion sickness, so I could never do it. But I was looking at some of the things that they do with and reading about it. and looked at the rhythm therapy, drum therapy, and I was like, it would be great to get a set of drums for these women just to beat the hell out of, you know, because they're so stressed out all the time. So you know, take some drums in there and, just, you know, you have a yoga class on Monday and maybe drum therapy. I don't know how to play the drums, but, you know, it's very therapeutic. it's therapeutic to beat on drums and to beat rhythms. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the bhakti yoga, the music I listen or that I use, which is created by Michael Johnson, who is the teacher I trained with in Asheville. He's just he's a wonderful teacher. But he creates his own rhythms, and they're at 108 beats per minute. Sometimes they vary, but the rhythm is the same from the start of the track to the end of the track. And it's the perfect rhythm for linking the breath to. So you've got this drumming rhythm, and you've got your breath linking up with the drums and the rhythm. Then you start to link the movements. It's a vinyasa flow class. You link the movements to the rhythm. So you're linking your breath and your physical postures and the flow to the rhythms. So I was thinking, well, you know, I could really do a lot with rhythm, not just with yoga, but learning how to use rhythm with them to help take them into almost a hypnotic or meditative, almost like a trance, you know, to get them to focus on the present moment, because that's what it's all about. I mean, and I remind them, I said, you can't go back and change anything that you've done, you know, so why let the guilt get to you? And I'm sure a lot of the women that I teach have a lot of guilt. There's a lot of felony DUIs in there, and women who have killed a child driving drunk. And so there's a lot of guilt and a lot of depression. So, you know, I try to focus on the present moment with them and teach them that it's not about what you had happened to you in the past, because you can't change it. It's not about what happened in the future or what's going to happen in the future, because you can't control it. And it's like I tell them, you can do things in the present moment to make your future a better future. But in the end, you have no control over that. So, you know, yoga is one of those tools. And the rhythm itself and being present, whether it's drum rhythm or hypnotherapy or a dance class. So there's all kinds of things that can be brought in to help those ladies learn to cope. And once they learn to how, you know, I tell them, you're going to respond rather than react. And when somebody gets up in your face on the yard, you're going to breathe, and you're going to turn around, and you're going to use your yoga, and you're not going to get in there and lose your good time or get in there and get put in lock up. Mm-hmm. So then you've got your correctional officers, and, you know, a lot of times they're not always the nicest to the inmates, and so they've got a job to do, and they can't be friends with them, but you know, I tell them, when you feel like you've got the mouth off at a correctional officer, breathe and turn around and don't do it, because you're going to end up losing time where you could get out earlier. And so that's where, you know, the being present and, you know, doing something in the present moment that can help your future. You know, learn your yoga. That way, when you come across something in the future that tries you or, you know, and pushes you to the edge, you've got it under control. Because I tell them, people want to make you mad. They want you to react. They want you to lose it. But you have to be in control, not somebody else. So, you know, but going back to your question or your comment on hypnotherapy, yes, there's tons of stuff that can be brought in. And I believe there are volunteers that would do it. Now, you know, over time, do we deserve to get some kind of compensation? Probably so, you know. But I think to open doors, you have to do things for free. And then that compensation might be that you start a nonprofit and you pay yourself. So it may not be coming from the Department of Corrections or the state funding. I don't think there's ever going to be state funding for yoga for inmates, because people would look at that like, well, I have to pay so-and-so dollars for yoga. Why did these people who have committed a crime get it for free? But so you have to be creative.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, Tanya, I do thank you for calling in. I didn't know if there was any other questions you wanted to ask.
No, it was just great you know, hearing Angie talk about these wonderful inspirations. And I just want to wish you best of luck. Best of luck,
Thank you.
Blessings, and, you know, all the resources you can stand to help with moving the project along.
Thank you. I'm sure it's going to all happen. I'm just going to let it happen like it's supposed to.
Exactly.
All right. Thank
all right.
you, Tony. All right.
Thanks, Anima.
All right, Angie, we are coming down to the final wire of the show. Was there anything that you would like to add about the yoga prison project?
Well, anybody who's interested in it, you can train. There's trainings conducted all throughout the United States. I think the next training that I know of is in Asheville. I think there is a training coming up. I don't remember where, but if you go to www.prisonyoga.org, it will pull up where the training is, and there's also a Facebook page for the Prison Yoga Project, so you can pull that up, and trainings are posted there. So if you're interested in training in something like that, you can look to see where there may be a training coming to your town or close by. If you're interested in donating a book to a prisoner, you can go to the Prison Yoga Project website and donate to a specific inmate. If you have a family member who is incarcerated, mm-hmm. you can buy one and have it sent to that inmate. You may need to get their inmate ID and know that, or you can just donate to an arbitrary inmate. So let's say you like the whole program and what's happening, you can just go in and pay for a book and they will send it to a prisoner. And there's a female version of the book written by Kath Meadows, who is actually a yoga teacher in Baltimore, and she goes into the women's facility. And then there's the one written by James Fox, which is for the men. And so you can donate books.
The lady in Baltimore, what's her name again?
Kath Meadows.
K-A-T-H
Meadows, N-E-A-D-O-W-S. And she's been going into the women's facilities there. In fact, she did a yoga teacher training that for the inmates there. They did a 200-hour registered yoga teacher Yoga Alliance training in the prison there. And so now the women who took that have a marketable skill when they get out, which is a great idea. And so I would like to eventually do that here in South Carolina, but that's a few years away. You know, I've got to focus on expanding and getting more teachers first. But so those are the websites and the Facebook page. If you want to donate just to me for South Carolina, you can contact me at scprisonyoga@gmail.com. So SC like South Carolina and then prisonyoga@gmail.com, and I'll take donations. I'll buy books and mats and blocks, and I can't take straps in, but the women especially like the yoga blankets, and they like the essential oils. I'll sprinkle it with essential oils and take those in, and they love it. I mean, because it's a different texture and a different scent. It's a treat. So I use money for that type of thing. So there are all different types of ways you can help if you're interested in getting involved, either being a teacher or, you know, monetary donations or book donations or DVD. If you want to send a DVD to one of the men's prisons in South Carolina, you can just do it. And so that would be a way you could contribute as well.
Well, it's definitely on my list here to make some donations on various levels, not just one level. So I do have your information here, and just look for me. That's all I can say is just
and
look for me.
Another thing I did was I'm getting like a yoga journal subscription for the prisons that we're in. Those subscriptions are, I think, $5.95. So that's nothing, but that's a big treat for them. So little things are what count. It's not the big dollars. It's, you know, $6 for a yoga journal subscription or $9 for a yoga mat. I mean, it's very simple, small contributions that make a huge difference.
I'm sure. Well, Angie, we are pretty much down to the wire now. I have a few announcements to make, but I do very much appreciate you coming through to do the show today. I send all the love and blessings that you need on your journey. Just know in due time everything unfolds. Are you here?
Are you there? Yeah, you were breaking up on me a little bit.
I'm sorry. I was just thanking you for coming through today to do the show. And I'm sending love and blessings.
Thank you
for having
me.
You're certainly
and
welcome.
And I'm returning those, so I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Well, Ed, we're coming down to the end of our broadcast, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, as always, I have a blast doing my shows here. And if anyone wants to connect to Angie, you can go on to my blog talk, or you can go to www.hmiradio.info to look up the information and how you can connect to Angie. Coming up on Sunday, June the 5th at 6 p.m., please stop by Mind, Body, and Soul Food Radio here on Blog Talk as host Tanya Parker, as you heard her chime in today. She'll be hosting the Radio Reiki Share. So please stop by and just get your healing on with the Reiki Masters, Reverend Anthony Farmer, Reverend Renee Kahina, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Tanya, so I apologize if I'm not, and Andrea Winger. They will be doing the Radio Reiki Share, so make sure you take time to log on to blogtalkradio.com/Tanya Parker to find out more about that show. Also, mark for June 26th at 6 p.m. as I'll be conducting readings here on my radio show here on Blog Talk. So if you have any issues where you would love to gain clarity and direction in your life, make sure you chime in. You can also go to, once again, www.hmiradio.info to find out more about that show as well. Also, just in case you miss any of the past shows, you can definitely sift through here in Blog Talk and listen to any of the past shows that are archived. You can listen on demand at any time. And that'll be all. I am done. So to my audience, once again, I thank you for tuning in. I'm Anem A. Bay, and I look forward to your presence again here on HMI Radio. Peace, namaste, and ashe.
It is a blessing to wake up to this beautiful day. I wake up motivated and full of energy, and I am ready to face the day. I am excited to wake up each morning and experience this beautiful life that I am creating, my thoughts and visions. I understand that my thoughts and visions create my future. Therefore, I intend to only think positive thoughts throughout the day. Positive thoughts have major impacts on my life. Negative thoughts have no effect on me at all. The most important thing I must do throughout the day is remain grateful. I have plenty to be grateful for, and I will make an effort to consistently be thankful for all the things that I have been blessed with. I am grateful for my health. I feel healthier and healthier as each day passes. Every cell in my body is functioning exactly as it should. I love and accept myself. I have self-discipline and self-confidence. I respect myself and my body commit to replacing bad habits with good habits. I love helping others. Today, I will make it a goal to help someone in some way. I look forward to and act on all opportunities that come my way throughout the day. I make time each day to clearly visualize all the things that I want to have and experience in my life. I trust my inner guidance and always make the right decisions. I am well respected and admired by everyone who I encounter. I am always surrounded by positive people. I have great conversations and everyone enjoys being around me. I am comfortable in every situation I find myself in. I have unlimited creativity, drive, and motivation. I am always taking action on ideas that I have. I accomplish all goals that I set for myself. I am successful and abundant in all areas of my life. I am a great person, and my life is filled with purpose. My mental clarity brings me closer to my dreams, and my strength and determination will ensure they become a reality. I can do, be, or have anything I want. I am in control of my life. Nothing can stop me from being the person I choose to be. I will succeed. I will succeed. I let go of the past and focus only on the now. Because it is the action that I take today that creates what future I will have tomorrow. Today is a fresh start. Today, I will make an impact. Today, I am one step closer to my dreams. I am grateful for today.